Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Tatum slams the ball down. That's going to do it. Derek White should keep that ball. That's where Derek White should definitely keep that ball.
The game is lifetime. Again, so I'm wandering around out in Miami here. And he was just having a nice afternoon in the sun. I have to bring up the heater all the time. We'll be back to wrap it up in just a minute.
Welcome in here on WEEI. Celtics have a 102-88 win to take a 3-1 series lead. I'm your host, John Lyons. I'll be here until midnight breaking down this Celtics win as well as their 3-1 series lead and two major storylines from this game that could affect the Celtics in the playoffs going forward. Derek White has the best playoff game and really the best overall game of his career, but even of greater importance, Kristaps Porzingis suffers a scary-looking calf injury in this game and has to leave. Now, there are early reports that it is hopefully not too serious, but obviously with a guy who's had injury struggles before, big man calf injury, it's always worth concerning. There will be imaging done on Kristaps Porzingis tomorrow. I have Zach Coe here with me producing. I'd love to hear from you guys as well on the text line or on the phone line. 617-779-7937 is the number. Again, the Celtics win 102-88 to take a 3-1 series lead. I mentioned that game from Derek White. Derek White had 38 points in this game. He also had 4 rebounds and 3 assists. He was just, you know, plus 10 as well. 3 blocks in this game, including a sick block on a Miami 3 in the second half. But he was tremendous in this game, and he really had to be because with Porzingis out, Jrue Holiday did have 11 points, but Porzingis only 7 points in 14 minutes. Tatum had 20 points and 11 rebounds, also chipped in 5 assists. Jaylen Brown had a massive dunk in this game, had 17 points, but he was kind of quiet overall, better in the second half than in the first half. The Celtics bench, only 9 total bench points. Horford had 7 points, Kornet had 2, Hauser and Pritchard combined for 0 points in this game. Horford, though, the key stat for me, not the 7 points, not the 8 rebounds, 34 minutes for Al Horford in this game. It's a guy that obviously the Celtics have been trying to protect most of the year, him and Porzingis together, keep those minutes down. And if Porzingis, look, I think no matter what, Porzingis is going to miss game 5. He very well may miss the entire second round series, assuming the Celtics advance that far. So Al Horford's going to have to play more minutes. And tonight, again, only 7 points, but he had 8 rebounds. He was a plus 15. Had a steal, couple of, you know, assists in there as well. In 34 minutes, he's probably going to have to play 34 minutes. Luke Kornet only played a few minutes in this game. I think that's going to increase. We may even see some minutes from Xavier Tillman, who they, of course, acquired at the trade deadline. Maybe not thinking that he would be a major contributor for the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, but he may need to be at least for the rest of this round and into the next round. But again, I'm going to talk a lot about the Porzingis injury in our next segment and how it affects the Celtics for game five of this series, but also going forward in the playoffs. I want to spend a few minutes just how did the Celtics get here? I mentioned they win 102-88. Game three on Saturday night, they won 104-84. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both had 22 points. Their defense was a lot better. Tonight, defensively, the Celtics came out and they had good defensive effort, but I felt like the Heat also missed a lot of open shots in this game. I mean, they were just a really bad shooting team tonight, Miami was. And I can't wait to see some of the advanced numbers, right? Because in game two, the Heat had 23 three-point shots that were qualified as wide open, which means no one within 6 feet of the shooter at the time he shoots. In game three, that was all the way down to 13, and it made a big difference. So I'm curious to see from tonight, I think it's higher than that 13 number. I don't think it's as high as the 23 number, but I think it's higher than that 13 number. I think the Heat did miss some open shots in this game. A lot of weird stuff happened in this game. Like I mentioned, the Porzingis issue. I don't know if there was a problem with the court or what. Pritchard fell down a couple of times. I think once he was tripped. Then late, you had that awkward sequence where Derek White draws a foul. Jason Tatum goes to shoot a three after the whistle. Basically one of those, you know, after whistle practice shots. Bam Adebayo gets in his space, kind of gives him a little shove. Tatum lands on his foot, rolls his ankle. Tatum's down in pain for a few moments. He's able to finish the game, though, and hopefully it's just, you know, a rolled ankle and he'll be fine. We'll obviously see on that. I thought that was at least the shove part of it. That was a little bit of a dirty play there, Bam going in that space. Now, I don't think he meant for Tatum to land on his foot, but I do think he knew better than to go in that space, especially after the whistle. Jrue Holiday in this game, you know, he's been quiet points-wise this series, but I feel like, again, I think in game three, he only hit one shot, but it felt like an impactful three when he hit it tonight. Only 11 points, but he gets the first 2 points of the game for the Celtics. And what stood out to me, those first 2 points were from the free throw line. The Celtics ended up shooting 18 free throws in this game. They made 16 of them. They were really good from the line, but it felt like the refs called this game really tight, basically from the jump. So Jrue Holiday gets to the line right away. Celtics go up 2-0. And the Heat, I mean, they score 12 points in the first 4.5 minutes. Why do I highlight that? Because in game three, they had 12 points in the entire first quarter. So they start out okay, but they're missing shots, and it felt like the Celtics really pulled away in the mid to late first quarter area to maybe early second quarter. Like, because midway through the first quarter, if you go back, and again, I know the Celtics win by 14, but you go back to about 5 or so minutes into this first quarter, it was a 13-12 game with 7.5 minutes left. Then the Celtics pull away a little bit, right? They get up 18-12, then it's 20-12. Next thing you know, it's 23-14. They start to kind of slowly pull away, you know, that midway through the first quarter. And of course, they end the first quarter up 34-24. And both teams feels like they can't make any shots in the second quarter. Celtics do outscore the Heat 19-12. There's that 12 number again. Game three, Miami had 12 points in the entire first quarter. Game four, Miami has 12 points in the entire second quarter. Look, I have all the respect out there for Heat culture and those guys, especially playing without Jimmy Butler, but if you have 12-point quarters, you're just not going to win NBA playoff games. And in fact, the Heat had a really good fourth quarter. We'll get to that. But in the second quarter, the Celtics outscore them 19-12, and it just felt like at that point, I mean, the Celtics go into the half up 53-36. And at the half, my biggest thought was the Porzingis injury. You know, is this going to be a long-term? My heart basically stopped beating, right? Is this going to be a long-term thing? Is this going to sink their chances to win a championship? You know, Porzingis has been healthy all year. They've rested him. They've done everything right. And, you know, holy smokes, it still happens. And, of course, it happens in freaking Miami, right, of all places. So, really, at halftime, that's all I was thinking about. But the game itself, the Celtics by that point had pulled away. And once again, good third quarter. Third quarter is something they struggled with mightily last postseason. Tonight, and it really multiple times this series, they've had really good third quarters. Game three, they had a good third quarter. Game one, off the top of my head, I think they had a good third quarter in that game as well. But they, you know, 28-23 third quarter for them. I did notice Horford, right? So they brought Horford out to start the third quarter. No big surprise with Porzingis out. Celtics go really cold to start the third quarter. In the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, they only had 7 points. They were missing a lot of shots, and it felt like they got energized. Derek White had two back-to-back dunks, essentially, in that third quarter. Then Jaylen Brown had a big dunk as well. And it felt like Derek White, again, he had 38 points, and it was a loud 38 points. All 38 of Derek White's points, it felt like they mattered. And especially, like, those two dunks, like, first of all, look, when Derek White is dunking on, dude, you might as well, you know, you might as well go home. I mean, not that a lot of Miami fans showed up tonight. You see all the white T-shirts just, you know, laying on seat backs all game. Yeah, maybe it was a busy night in South Beach. I don't know. Or maybe they just know without Jimmy, they're not going to bother to show up. But at that point, when Derek White's dunking on dudes, for the guys that are there, you know, folks that are there, you might as well go home at that point. But I thought those two dunks kind of reset the Celtics. Both, he was cutting through the lane. Good passes to set up both of them. But again, the Heat tried to play that zone. Derek White, and without Porzingis, not a shock that he tried to do that. Derek White cuts right through and kind of ends it. And then that JB dunk, I thought, on the broadcast, they highlighted this really well. And by the way, folks, not to go on a tangent here, Wednesday night could possibly be the last game of Mike Gorman's illustrious broadcasting career. So make sure you tune in to NBC Sports Boston on Wednesday night to hear that. And, of course, tune in to me Wednesday night on the post game. Duh. But I thought that Derek White back-to-back dunk sequence really reset the Celtics. And that Jaylen Brown dunk, like I said, I thought they highlighted it really well on the broadcast, where Derek White's coming up the floor, Tatum cuts outside, right? He essentially flares out, which opens up the lane for Jaylen Brown. He gets the pass, big thunderous dunk there at that point. And credit to Miami, though, right? It's 81-59 after three quarters. Tatum sits to start the fourth quarter. Derek White sits to start the fourth quarter. And Miami keeps fighting back. They keep fighting back. It's 89-71 with 7:45 left. And then Tatum body bags Caleb Martin on a dunk with 7:19 left to put the Celtics up 20. But then next thing you know, it's 91-78 with 5:21 left. Then you have that Tatum Bam Adebayo sequence there. And that was weird in that Al Horford gets a technical. Bam gets a flagrant. Of course, ball don't lie, as we know. Tyler Hero misses the technical free throw. Tatum hits both of the flagrants. That kind of puts the Celtics back up. They get up 95-78. They kind of cruise from there at that point to win 102-88. So credit to the Heat. I mean, the Heat kept fighting, which it's a good thing for the Celtics. Like, you got to earn it. Teams are going to fight all playoffs. You might as well start now. The Heat kept fighting. They made it. I don't want to say they made it close, but they just had a lot of momentum. I think they had a 14-5 run in that fourth quarter. So they made it kind of, I guess, kind of close. But the Celtics, again, finished them off. Who knows? Maybe that's a Celtics game that the 2022 or 2023 Celtics would have lost. You know, just in the back of my mind. Sometimes I think of that when the Celtics win some of these games. But all in all, Celtics win 102-88. I do want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. We had a full show until midnight. Justin Turpin is going to join us at 11:20. I do want to sneak in one call here before the break. Shane on the Cape, one of our regular great callers on the Celtics. Shane, how you doing tonight? What do you got?
I'm doing okay. You know, they're up 3-1. You know, obviously a great trip to Miami, but, you know, at the end of the day, the health of Kristaps Porzingis is the biggest storyline coming out of tonight. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. You know, a lot of teams are dealing with injuries, you know, in the playoffs now, and now the Celtics are going to have to deal with it too. But, you know, the depth, you know, everyone's talked about the Celtics having the best, you know, six players, you know, rotation. You know, we're going to need Horford to really step up. And, you know, Tatum. Tatum is going to have to, you know, his minutes are high, but I don't think he's really going to be able to come off the court without Porzingis because, you know, he's, you know, without Porzingis, you lose, you know, some size, you lose some playmaking, you lose shooting. You know, so Tatum and then Drew Holiday and these other guys, Derek White tonight, Jaylen Brown's got to be more efficient, you know, six turnovers I think he had tonight. So just everyone's going to have to really step up their game, you know, and maybe this is why you go out and sign a guy like Xavier Tillman, you know, you get him, Cornette. So it's going to have to be, you know, by committee, but you know, I do not want to hear that these guys, you know, Porzingis is out and that's an excuse. They have no excuse to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and even win it, you know, and get to the finals without Porzingis. I hope Porzingis can be back by the Eastern Conference Finals, but, you know, at the end of the day, these guys still have no excuse to get there and win the East. But appreciate the time, and go Celts. Have a good night, Lions.
Shane had a couple of good things there to say, and just for reference, Derek White actually led the Celtics with 41 minutes tonight. Jaylen Brown, yeah, 6 turnovers. Celtics had 10 as a team. JB had 6 of them, right? Can't continue that. And, I want to get into that on the other side of the break because I think Shane's right. Even without Porzingis, I think Celtics are still the best team in the East. Like, and I'm not saying it's going to be – it's never easy in the NBA playoffs. I'm not one of those bozos that say they're just going to cut through the Eastern Conference like nothing. But without Porzingis, like, they still have 2 all-NBA guys. They still have 2, you know, all-defensive-level guards. Without Porzingis, they still have a guy in Al Horford who's a good player. So, I mean, that's better than any team they're going to face in the second round, whether it's Cleveland or Orlando. It's better than the Knicks, better than the Sixers, better than the Pacers, better than the Bucks, especially with the hobbled Giannis and Dame. So, yeah, I want to get into that more on the other side of this break. Right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Brown. Porzingis leaves it. Brown takes it to the basket. Rejected. Porzingis has to come out. Something happened. Something bad happened. That is not good.
Celtics foul, number 9, Derek White, his first.
He's only 2:27 to go to halftime, so he'll go directly to the locker room. Take a look. He took a bad step with his right foot initially. I know. Don't say it.
I don't know what that is. I'm not going to speculate either.
Nope.
Yeah, that was the sequence tonight when my heart just stopped beating. Yeah. Kristaps Porzingis leaves the game with an injury. We do not know the full severity yet. He did just leave the arena in a walking boot, or leave the locker room, I should say, in a walking boot. That was just reported over the last couple of minutes. So he's in a walking boot. Really concerning stretch, odd stretch. If you so about 3.5 minutes to go, Porzingis rolls his ankle in the lane. He starts kind of limping around, stays in. I thought, honestly, when he started limping, in my mind, I'm like, hey, call a timeout. Just get him out. Get him out. But he was kind of able to play through it. He kept going. Then he takes, you know, some pretty heavy contact the following possession. He's called, Al Horford's called for a foul, but Porzingis gets knocked to the ground, still stays in the game. And then with about 2.5 minutes to go, Porzingis has to leave the game on that play that you just heard, where it's one of those scary non-contact injuries. And you know, look, I don't want to be hyperbolic here. I don't want to speculate, but it's just every time I see a basketball player have an injury like non-contact around his calf or ankle, all I think about is Kevin Durant in the 2019 NBA Finals when you just saw his Achilles pop and he was out for the rest of that series, obviously, for the next year. The Warriors ended up losing that series. And again, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to, you know, say that it's that. Hopefully it's not that. And he is going to have, tomorrow, it sounds like, some imaging. And the Celtics' early test said that they don't feel like it's an Achilles injury. So that is some good news. But, of course, he's got the injury history. He had calf issues earlier this year, albeit in his other leg. But he had calf issues earlier this year. It's a scary moment. You want to be as careful as possible. And the Celtics now have to adapt. And Joe Mazzulla talked about that after the game. We're going to give you that sound. I think we have it right now, Zach. We're going to go to Joe Mazzulla. This is Joe Mazzulla after the game.
Anybody wants to ask, I haven't gotten an update on Porzingis yet, so we can save the time.
On the injury, it looked like he got played.
I didn't see what happened, and I haven't gotten an update yet, no.
With Tatum on the play, with the flagrant there, did he come out of that okay? And what did you just see on that play?
As far as I know, I mean, he looked like he was moving. I didn't ask him after the game. He looked like he was moving okay, but I'm sure he's fine.
And with Derek tonight, what allowed him, you know, through the first three quarters at 31 points and just the shot quality?
Yeah.
And the threes and all.
Yeah, I mean, he hit some tough ones for us down the stretch, which is what he does. But I think, again, every game in this series is going to be a different game. It's going to take on a life of its own. And so I thought they tried to play a faster-paced game and dictate the pace of the game, which I thought we did a good job of matching that. And when we play a little bit faster, it just creates opportunities for everybody. And so I thought our defense kind of led to our offense, and Derek makes some big plays for us.
Knowing you wouldn't have Kristaps in the second half, what was said at halftime, and how are you guys able to maintain that lead? And
I thought everybody just stepped it up. I thought Al was tremendous, only taking 5 shots, but his defense, his physicality, and then, you know, what Peyton, Sam, and Luke have done throughout the whole season. So it's going to have to be from everybody.
Knowing, obviously, that you don't know if Porzingis is going to miss some time, or if he does, how long, does that change the pressure or anything like that on the next game to say, hey, you got to make sure that you close this series out just so guys can get their rest and be ready to maybe make up for any potential loss?
No, nothing changes. Bringing the same mindset, intentionality, toughness, details to the next game, regardless of who's available, it doesn't matter. There's no difference between the regular season and the playoffs. And, all year we've had guys step in and play. So most important thing is execute the game plan and bring the mindset and the toughness it takes.
Jay, then Garrett.
It sometimes seems like you guys flow better and better the more Derek is involved. When he got hot early, what did you like about the way he just kept being aggressive, kept looking for his own offense?
Like I said, I think when he was aggressive early in possessions, coming off stops, pushing the pace, he was able to create some cross matches. We were just able to create some space there. And he does a good job. We went to some more small stuff, kind of spaced the bigs. And when we do that, that's when he has the ability to impact the game.
Joe, what's to say about the depth that Jason and Jalen don't have to have these, great games, that Derek kind of carries the way and the other guys, I mean, and you're led by as many as 28. I mean, it just seems like the depth here is overwhelming at times.
I mean, I think, yeah. I think it's a strength of ours. It's something that we've done the entire season, and it's something that we have to continue to do. But we just, it's a credit to those guys being ready to play all the time. And, you know, for Jalen and Jason, it takes what it takes. There's nights where they have to be who they are, and there's nights where they got to do other stuff. And I thought both of them throughout the game, their defense was at a high level, regardless of how it was going for them. And on the offensive end, they mixed up screening. They mixed up ball handling. And at the end of the day, it our depth's allowed to, you know, take its advantages. So it's important. We got to try to keep that.
More than Jack.
Joe, when you talk about the intensity and the toughness, you guys played almost better defense in the first half tonight, gave up less points than in game three. Your second chance points again, plus 10, you're plus 30 the last two games. I mean, could you see areas of improvement even after a 20-point win last game coming into tonight?
No, there's a lot of areas we got to get better. I thought, our physicality and purpose was great, and we just got to execute a little bit better. But I thought in the first half, our physicality and our activity defensively made up for some of the mistakes that we made, and I think that's important. Is you're going to have a game plan, there's details, but your effort has to be able to take advantage of that, and we've done that. And so the challenge is, can we maintain the level of effort and purpose along with the execution?
Joe, Derek and Al are pretty mild-mannered guys. You see Derek after those dunks get real fired up, Al after the Bam Tatum thing go over, defend his teammate. What is it like for you to watch sort of everybody on the roster, even the guys who are pretty even-keeled, sort of get hyped up in those moments, get pumped up at the playoffs, and how important is that throughout the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think one of the things we've done is maintained our poise while showing passion and not emotion, and I think that's important. So I'm just going to keep that going.
Jared and Josh.
You guys, we talked a lot last week about how central KP is to so much of what you do offensively, but you also had 20 games this year to see how this team plays without him. So how did you feel like the team was able to kind of spring into playing more of the style that you play with?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole key, I think, throughout the season, is developing different ways to play on both ends of the floor. And so I thought the guys adjusted well to doing that. And, you know, I think that's something that we've tried to focus on, is regardless of who's out there, we have different identities. And the guys were able to execute that well in the second half.
That was Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla after tonight's 102-88 win over the Miami Heat. Of course, he started off with the info that everybody wanted to know, and that was that he did not have an update on Kristaps Porzingis. There are two updates out there right now. Of course, an hour ago, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported that although the Celtics and Porzingis, that they'll undergo imaging tomorrow, early indications are he has not sustained an Achilles injury. And the other update is he did leave the locker room in a walking boot. So we'll see where that leads. Of course, that is, you know, the biggest story from this game, really. I think that's a bigger story than even if the Celtics had lost this game. I think if they had lost this game and Porzingis was fully healthy, I would feel pretty bad, but I would feel better than maybe if Porzingis has to miss the rest of the play. And again, I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but I think that's the concern right now if Porzingis has to miss time. And a few things Mazzulla said, though, you know, when you look to the rest of the series, so hopefully this series only has one more game. We'll see. They do play Wednesday night in Game 5 in Boston. For Wednesday night, I think you're going to need a big Tatum game. And Tatum's, I think, been playing well in this series. He hasn't been putting up massive point numbers, but he's been doing multiple things. You know, he's had double-doubles multiple times this series. He had a triple-double early in this series. Tonight he had 20 and 11 with 5 assists, right? So, and he was 8 for 8 from the free throw line. So he's been impactful. I think he's been pretty good defensively as well, Jason Tatum has. And defensively overall, I mean, like Derek White's defensive rating in the series is 108. Al Horford's just a tick over 100. Tatum's is 109. Jrue Holiday's is 103. I mean, the Celtics have been playing good defense. I mean, outside of game two, where I thought their defense was terrible. The other three games, it's funny, right? The three games they've played good defense, they've won, especially games one and three. And I thought game three, their defense was tremendous. I thought their defense was good, not as good tonight. Good, not as good as the other night. There were still some open shots that Miami just missed. But Mazzulla talked about their defense leading to offense. I think if you're looking at it to game five without Porzingis, you don't really want to get caught in the half court with Miami, especially when they start playing that annoying zone, right? That was one of the biggest assets about Porzingis, is he could be a guy that could help you defeat that zone. You don't have that guy, so let your defense lead to offense, score in transition as much as you possibly can. And Al Horford's another guy here. Joe Mazzulla talked about Al Horford and his impact. He highlighted Al's defense. He highlighted Al's physicality. Again, the biggest stat for me that stood out for Al Horford tonight was the number 34. And that's the amount of minutes he played. And I think when you go into game five, Porzingis isn't going to play. So you're going to have Tatum, Holiday, White, Brown. It's going to be Horford in that starting role. And then Luke Kornet, who only had 3 minutes in this game, I think he's probably going to end up playing quite a bit. Like, we could see 15 minutes from Luke Kornet in game five. Like, I think ideal, right, if you can get, you know, just call a ballpark figure, you know, 32 minutes from Horford, 16 from Kornet, and that kind of gets your center position through the game for 48 minutes. Again, 32 minutes from Horford would be a little less than tonight, but 32 minutes is still heavy on a guy his age, especially in the playoffs. Now, obviously, playoffs, you have days off in between, so there's a little bit of breathing room there. And Horford has had his minutes managed so far this year. I think the Celtics on the whole have done a good job of that. But again, he's going to have to play a big role in game five. And assuming they win this series, he's going to have to play a big role in round two. And if you look at those round two teams, look, Cleveland can be physical. Of course, they have Donovan Mitchell. They can score a lot of points, especially Mitchell himself. But Orlando, if Orlando wins that series, a lot of size, a lot of toughness on that Orlando team. So either way, Al Horford's going to have a big test coming to him in round two. And I think he can pass it, but it's going to be a big test. And I think Orlando, just based off, I think their pure size and physicality, would be a little bit of a bigger test. But then guys like Sam Hauser, 16 minutes tonight. He only took two shots. He had 0 points, right? You're going to need more from him. You're going to need him to score. Was it game one? He had those four threes. He only had 12 points, but there were four threes. Made an impact. I'm not telling you Sam Hauser has to score 25 points, but he is going to have to make an impact. Maybe it's 10 points, 12 points. Peyton Pritchard, too, 0 points. Those are two guys with Porzingis out. You're going to need Horford to step up. You're going to need Kornet to step up, and you're going to need some points out of Hauser and Pritchard in this game five to close out. And you want to close this out in game five for the obvious reasons that you want to win the series, but it looks like that Cleveland-Orlando series, so it's already tied 2-2, so it's going to go a minimum of six games, but it has the feel of a seven-game series. And if you can win in five and get some extra time off, not only is it good for Porzingis, but it's good for a guy like Horford. It's good for a guy like Kornet that has been injured coming into this series, right? It's good for guys like that. It's good for a guy like Derek White, who had to play 41 minutes tonight and is probably going to have to play 41 minutes or more in game five. So I think, like, again, you can win game five without Porzingis. You can win the next series without Porzingis. I think, I'm not trying to count my, you know, eggs before they've hatched here, but I think you can win that series without him. You're just going to have to adapt, right? To Joe Mazzulla said, nothing changes. It's the same mindset. You are going to have to adapt. And he did talk about how they have different lineups that have different identities. And I think that's going to have to be true, right? Because right now, you know, you're going to lean on that starting five, swapping out Horford for Porzingis. And you're going to need Hauser to score some points. You're going to need Pritchard to score some points. You're going to need some valuable minutes from Kornet. And I think, again, I think if you get that in game five, I think you win game five, okay? But they are going to have to adapt without Porzingis. And the good news for the Celtics, and this is a credit to Brad Stevens, you take Porzingis off the floor, they're still the more talented team this series. I still would wager they're the more talented team in the second round, and they'd probably be the more talented team in the third round, given that, you know, if the Sixers end up advancing that far, I know they're down 3-1, but Embiid's hobbled. I still think they're more talented. Knicks don't have Julius Randle, and Giannis and Dame are kind of iffy right now for Milwaukee. So I think even without Porzingis, the Celtics are the most talented team in the East, but they got to adapt. And that's where Joe Mazzulla also comes in. Right? We talked quite a bit in the offseason about they added Sam Cassell to their staff. They added Charles Lee to their staff, who, by the way, Charles Lee looks like he is one of the front runners for that Charlotte head coaching job. But they add these two veteran assistants, these championship-level assistants to their staff. This is where the two of them and Joe Mazzulla and the rest of that staff, they're going to have to really adapt to, because you know Spoelstra is going to come out with a good game plan to stop the Celtics without Porzingis in game five. The Celtics have the talent to win that game, but I think this is where you're going to, Joe Mazzulla, pressure is going to be on him. If you play Orlando in the second round, Jamal Mosley is a finalist for Coach of the Year. It's a really well-coached Orlando team. Joe Mazzulla, who, again, I think for the most part this year, we've seen strides from him. I think he's coached better than he did a year ago, but the pressure is going to be ratcheted up a little bit, right, without Porzingis. Margin for error goes down a little. Really love to hear from all you folks, though. 617-779-7937. Right now we have Susan from Worcester on the line. Wants to talk about the Celtics having to play tough defense. Susan, welcome into the program.
Thank you. I just want to say, now, I hear that 100 times, they're the most talented team in the league. But you know what? You can have all the talent, but if you don't produce on the court, what good is it? And they do have a lot of talent. I agree with that. Another thing, Have you been watching Kyrie Irving play?
Yeah. Do you see that layup he made the other day? I was like, I don't even know how that went in. He's been nuts. Don't get me wrong. I'm kind of happy he's not in Boston anymore. But, yeah, he's been tremendous.
I know. But I can't really take my eyes off of him. Maybe it's me, but he dazzles me with that. He can handle the ball as good as anybody. Luka said it's like having, he has eyes in the back of his head everywhere. They're getting along good, too, because I heard the media say they're never going to gel together. Did you hear that before the season?
Yeah, I did. And look, they've gelled together for a year, but as we've seen in Boston, you know, that first year might be okay, even that second year. Maybe we'll see how that goes along. But, Susan, you had a point about the Celtics defense. What did you want to say on that?
No, I was saying about the talent. I agree with you 100%, but you got to produce.
Yeah.
I mean, fans are a fickle tier. If they don't win it all this year, it seems like they got the path to do it. It's right there in front of them, but it's hard winning a championship. We know that. It's not easy.
Yeah, definitely. And Susan, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. We're getting close to a break here, so I got to let you go.
Okay.
But have a great night, Susan.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're doing a very good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. And to Susan's point, though, and Shane on the Cape, who called in early, kind of mentioned this, like, okay, the Celtics have the talent still without Porzingis to go through these. So, like, Susan mentioned, if they don't win a championship, people are going to be upset. Look, I think they're still good enough to go to the NBA. If Porzingis does not play for them the rest of the postseason, they are good enough to get to the NBA Finals. So we can't use this as an early excuse or crutch. So I got to make that clear. Okay, but Porzingis makes them, I think, the best team in the NBA, them and Denver. Like, those are the two best teams. Where with Porzingis out, OKC's right there, Minnesota's right there, right? I get it. Even a healthy Milwaukee is right there. But, yeah, I mean, to Susan's point, it's not going to be, like, again, I think they're the most talented team. I think there's not an excuse for them, even without Porzingis, to get to the NBA Finals. But it's not going to be easy, right? Miami is going to go down fighting in Game 5 if the Celtics win. And then in Round 2, look, I'm telling Cleveland, and let's not, I know it's a while ago, Orlando gave the Celtics arguably their biggest beatdown of the year on Black Friday. Down in Orlando. I think that was part of the in-season tournament. But and I know the Celtics had a big loss to the Clippers, but Porzingis didn't play in that game, and they just missed a bunch of threes, too. But, like, Orlando gave the Celtics some problems last year. The Celtics were better against them this year, but they still had that big win on Black Friday that I know was a while ago. Cleveland has Donovan Mitchell. They have talent there. Like, it's not going to be easy, but I still think the Celtics are the best team in the East right now. And can they handle the emotional letdown of, oh, Porzingis has to miss some time? Because going into the season, like Porzingis last year, I think he played 65 games. He would have played more, but they shut him down in Washington because they wanted a higher lottery pick. So Porzingis came into the year coming off a season in which he had played pretty much the entire way. Like I said, they shut him down, but he played most of the games, felt good health-wise. This year they've managed him really well. You finally kind of felt good about his health. And then this injury happens, right? So can the Celtics kind of withstand that emotional letdown? Because they have the big win tonight. They withstood it tonight, which is a good thing. And, we were on postgame, KJ Carson and I, after game 2, and we talked about how it was one of those, classic Tatum and Brown Celtics losses where, they just got lazy on defense, missed shots, game they should have won. And we said, well, last year's team would have ended up, continuing to mess around and lose another game. Would the Celtics look at that as a wake-up call? Because at that point, let's not forget, the last 2.5 weeks of the regular season, they hadn't played a meaningful game, and they had rested the starters to end the regular season. Then they had that week off during the play-in tournament. So the Celtics came into game 1 having not played a meaningful game in a few weeks. They get up by 30. Then they start to mess around a little. The Heat don't really get back in it, but they get some confidence late in that fourth quarter. They come out, win game 2, and KJ and I said, hey, is this going to be a wake-up call where they come out in game 3 and 4 and they play really well and they play hard defensively? And they did. They win game 3 by 20. They win tonight by 14. So I know the Porzingis injury is the biggest story. I get it, and I'm happy to continue to take your calls on it. But I think it's really encouraging to me the way they responded from game 2. Because I think the 2022 Celtics and the 2023 Celtics would not have won both of these games down in Miami, especially in such convincing fashion. So for me, I'm really happy that they were able to do that. You know, and Derek White played really, really well tonight. He's been great all season, but you know, he was elite tonight. Tatum and Brown. Brown wasn't great tonight, but he was good enough that it didn't kill them, which I know, again, that's a supermax player. You want more than that, but once in a while that happens. And Tatum, he's not putting up 40. He's not putting up 35, but he's impacting the game in multiple facets. He's passing the ball really well. He's still scoring 20. He's got double-digit rebounds. He's impacting the game all over, which, again, that's what you want to have an MVP candidate-level player, impact the game everywhere. And I wouldn't be shocked in Game 5, by the way, if Tatum scores like 45 points in a closeout. So a little early prediction there, maybe hit the over on Tatum points. But speaking of hitting the over, Zach Coe, I know I went over on this segment and we got to go to break. We'll be right back to continue this, looking around the East and the NBA scoreboard, as well as continuing to talk about the Celtics' big win tonight. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Well, Celtics post-game action here until midnight. And folks, if during the commercial break you heard a noise all across New England, I think it was just a collective sigh of relief. Kristaps Porzingis did tweet out, "Thanks for all the support, comma, will be good." So hopefully that's a sign that he feels good about his injury. Again, he left the locker room in a walking boot. But if he's tweeting that out, hopefully that means at least he feels good about where he's at health-wise. And look, I don't expect Porzingis to play in Game 5. Hell, I wouldn't play him in Game 5. And he probably, in my estimation, may miss. I say probably may. I think he would miss at least some of the early games of a potential next series if the Celtics advance. We have Zach Coe producing for us tonight. Producer extraordinaire, Zach Coe. Zach, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
You don't mind that, Nick? See, I call Nico producer extraordinaire, so I probably need to get a different nickname for you.
Whatever works for you works for me.
Super producer, maybe? Yeah, well, we'll think of something.
We went with Bruins expert last week. So.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so it's Celtics postgame. We have Bruins expert Zach Coe with us. That's, you know, all right, there you are. You're Bruins expert. Zach, I do, as a Bruins expert, I want to get your thoughts, though. Celtics tonight, you know, they have this big win coming on the heels of game time. What did you think of this? Would you think, hey, just Miami blows? Or are you satisfied with how the Celtics came out tonight and how they executed?
I wouldn't say I'm completely satisfied. Obviously, there's some stuff that they could clean up. But overall, I think anything would be better than what we saw in Game 2. So the fact that they keep building on this and aren't getting complacent, I know we talked a lot yesterday when you were on with KJ about the Celtics playing around with their food, and it doesn't really seem like they're going to do that this year. It looks like they're going to go for the kill and try to get the Heat out of here as quickly as possible.
And it felt like in Game 2, there was a little bit of food playing, right? And more of that, it's funny, because when we think of the Celtics playing with their food over the last few years, it's they get a 15-point lead in the third quarter and they lose. Or they have an 8-point lead with 3 minutes to go and they lose. Or they have a 3-1 series lead on the Hawks without Murray in Game 5 and they lose Game 5 and have to battle in Game 6. Like, that's what we think of. Whereas in Game 2, I looked at the Celtics playing with their food as, like, how many times did they let the Heat shoot a wide-open freaking three? 23 times? I mean, how many times are you going to be late on the closeout before you make a coaching adjustment? How many times are you just not going to get out there? So they played with their food a little bit then, but, Zach, to your point, that hasn't happened a lot this year, which has been encouraging. And the way they responded was really key in Game 3 and Game 4. Like, Game 3, okay, they bounce back, and they're great. They're dominant. But to build off that and do it in Game 4, I thought was really important. Because it feels to me that, like, Game 4, Porzingis gets hurt. It gets down to a 13-point game midway through the fourth. This is one of those games that last year's Celtics would have been, like, 50-50. And instead, tonight, they closed it out. So you were encouraged by that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it's not the same sport. But last week, we heard Jim Montgomery, after Game 1, talk about how the challenge is repeating when you play well. And I think that applies in this scenario, too. Obviously, big win on Saturday. You blow them out and retake home court. And you just as easily could have come back out and laid an egg tonight. But they repeated a lot of the things that they did well in Game 3 and came out with another convincing win.
Yeah, another part, too, that I think was important, and we talked about this last segment, that emotional response after Porzingis gets hurt, right? Could have turtled there, could have felt sorry for yourselves. Celtics bounce back. I do want to take a quick look around the NBA before we end the hour here. Just going back to yesterday, Knicks beat the 76ers. They're up 3-1 in that series. Clippers and Mavs, that's been an entertaining series. Clippers won by 5 yesterday. That series is 2-2. Pacers beat the Bucks. They're up 3-1 with Giannis and Dame out. Looks more and more like the Pacers are going to win this series, which also highlights, Zach, how stupid the NBA playoff structure is. Celtics win 64 games. They worked their ass off all year to get the one seed. Now the Pacers are going to beat the Bucks. The Celtics should be playing the Pacers in round two, but no, because we have to have a bracket system, they're going to play either Cleveland or Orlando in the second round, assuming they get through here. Like, that to me, that's ridiculous. And no, just look, the Pacers won the in-season tournament, right? They probably hung a banner for it, whatever. But they are the sixth seed, so the Celtics should be playing them in round two. And of course, the Phoenix Suns, hey, I have my hand up in the air. I was 1,000% wrong about the Phoenix Suns. I thought they were going to go to the conference finals, maybe even the NBA finals this year. The Timberwolves took their lunch money, took their lunch, stuffed them into a locker, and swept them 4-0. This Timberwolves team, they're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, Anthony Edwards has been tremendous. Carl Anthony Towns is a stud. Then tonight, of course, we've been talking about the Celtics all night. Another team with a chance to sweep, OKC Thunder, up 93-85 on the Pelicans right now in the fourth quarter with a minute left. Looks like they are about to finish off a series sweep and head on to the second round. I mean, those West playoffs, man, it's going to be nuts. Lakers are up by 4 in the second quarter over the Nuggets. Nuggets lead that series 3-1. Lakers have had a double-digit lead in the first 4 games, yet lost 3 of them. Only time in NBA history that's happened. But, man, you know, not to look way ahead, because I will not do that as a Celtics fan who knows disappointment. Those West playoffs are going to be a battle. OKC, Minnesota, Denver. I mean, that is going to be whoever wins that Clippers-Mavs, that's going to be a battle. And I just hope one of those teams beats Denver before the NBA Finals. But Celtics beat the Heat 102-88 tonight. We've talked a lot about the Porzingis injury. We've talked a lot about the game itself. But I think the guy who really deserves flowers right now, who was awesome tonight, has been awesome all year, who does not have a contract extension, but I hope this time next year we'll be talking about a guy that does. That's Derek White, 38 points tonight. Career high for Derek White. We're going to dive into Derek White's great night and great season coming up next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.